I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
With regard to the presidential debate, I expect that that question is going to come up about this. Look, like many, I look forward to hearing Donald Trump lay out his vision for the country. It's a positive vision. It's a forward vision. He is excited. I talked to him, spent a lot of time with him last week down at Mar-a-Lago, and then on the phone over the weekend, and he's in a very good place. And I expect that you're going to see a sharp contrast between President Trump's positive agenda and Joe Biden's proven weakness. And I did a lot of media over the last several days, and everybody wants to know which Joe Biden's going to show up. And my summary is this. It doesn't matter if he drinks a whole gallon of energy drinks. He's not going to be able to match the acumen and the readiness of Donald Trump. And that's what we expect. Even if it's a three-on-one situation, I mean, obviously the CNN moderators have shown an open disdain for President Trump. Everybody's seen the tapes rolling of all their comments, so we know it's not a fair fight. But Biden's still going to have to address America's concerns about his policies of high inflation and open borders and appeasement of our adversaries. Those are things that are on the hearts and minds of every American. And I know he's spending all week to prepare for it, but I guess that's how much time it takes to figure out how to defend that disastrous record. Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. Speaker Mike Johnson making it very clear, Biden's spending all this time, all this week, since last weekend, all this time getting ready for the debate. Where's Donald Trump? He's out campaigning. He's barnstorming. He's talking to anyone and everyone that wants to have him on as an interview and appearing before numerous crowds. Well, should he need to prepare for debate? I don't really think so. I mean, there's some issues he might need to be reset on, rebriefed a little bit. But Joe Biden needing all this time? The questions have already been raised. Why so much study time for Joe Biden? It's his administration for the last 4 years. Does he not know what he did? Does he not have a good answer? Well, that's the issue. He doesn't. He doesn't know what he's done, doesn't care what he's done, and doesn't know any of the answers anyway. They've really have been spending this time. I have no doubt you've heard others say it. I'm not an expert in this. I'm not a doctor. I don't even pretend to act like I've been one at any point in my life. But they're probably making sure how the meds are working with him and how they can get him to an active state. Not zombied out, not a wild man crazy. Subtle, sincere, strong, lunch pail Joe as he ran in the U.S. Senate. I echo Speaker Johnson's words. Good luck with that. Hey, glad to have you on board with us again. This is hour number two of Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch by going to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. Or you can go to Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. If you miss anything, everything goes up on a podcast, video and audio. Add to the program at LarryConnorsUSA.com and also Larry Connors USA Facebook. And at almost any other podcast form you want, you're going to find. Simply search Larry Connors USA. Glad to have you. Glad to have you listening whenever you can. Watch when you can. Share with others. Let them know. Last night at our gathering at the Saving America 2024 event, had a lot of people come up say, you know, I just heard about you were back on the air on the maybe at the beginning of the year. And I said, well, it's been a little bit longer than that since I've been on with the Larry Connors USA, but we're glad to have you whenever you come through the door. Now, if you would tell other people, your word of mouth to your friends and neighbors is stronger than anything I do, believe me, because they know you directly. And that goes for some folks that aren't Larry Connors fans. And there, unfortunately, yes, there are some. There are some. But I've also been able to sway some of them that once we sit down and have a conversation, they realize, yeah, I may not agree entirely, but I see what you're saying. That's all we're asking. I want to stress to you again, I don't want sheep. I don't want sheep following this program. I want active thinkers. And if you have questions and concerns, and that's why I always give you sources and material where you go back and check it yourself. I never try to hide any of that. So Johnson is saying, good luck with what you're trying to sell. Congressman Comer says, I'll be on the edge of my seat watching. Congressman Comer.
Tomorrow, I'll join the rest of the country in watching President Trump tout his record of historic success, while Joe Biden, he's going to have to defend his record of historic failure. I'm sure Biden will try his famous tactic of telling the American people not to believe their lying eyes when it comes to the devastation that he has caused in the past 3 years. But the American people are much smarter than Joe Biden and his political elite cronies give them credit for. They know the devastation Biden's failed policies have caused because they're the ones who have been forced to bear the consequences. It's hardworking Americans who've been left behind under the Biden administration's reckless economic agenda.
And that also includes blue states and blue cities. That's why so many of them are looking more purple. And some are absolutely walking away from the Democrat Party because they've been endangered. Let me give you a statement here that I have. This is out of Boston. Earlier this week, the governor of Massachusetts sent five state officials down to Texas. She wanted them to tell border protection officials and non-government agencies and organizations, the NGOs that help funnel illegals through our country, that her state of Massachusetts is overburdened with emergency shelter system. We cannot serve any more families. Did you ever hear anything from a Boston mayor or a Detroit mayor or New York City mayor and our governors of each of those when all the crisis was down at the border only until they started making their way north with or without the help of Governor Abbott and DeSantis? No, they were content to let you suffer. You suffer? We want you to suffer. Well, now they're suffering, and they don't like it. So she sent five of her state officials down there to tell them, don't send us anymore. One of those she's got going down to lead the shelter system is a retired Air Force Lieutenant General. He said, this trip is an important opportunity to meet with families arriving in the U.S., the organizations that work with them at the border, to make sure they have the accurate information that we have no space in Massachusetts. It's essential we get the word out. Our shelters are full. So you and your family, welcome to America, but go somewhere else, not our backyard. That's what it's down to. That's what they're saying in Chicago, in Detroit, in New York City. Those were sanctuary cities and states, and in many cases still are. Not a sanctuary for their own citizens, however. Back to the debate tomorrow night. It's on CNN, and in host are Jake Tapper and Dana Bash. Molly Hemingway of The Federalist says Donald Trump is on that stage by his lonesome.
He's not just debating Joe Biden here. He's also debating the CNN moderators. That's actually very typical for a Republican candidate. You're not just going against your Democrat opponent. You're also almost always going against the moderator or moderators as well. So he's probably had a lot of time to think through what he did poorly in that first debate in 2020, what he did well in the second debate, and really probably understands the need to be presidential and definitely focus on policy. You know, I think this is where Biden is weak. He has a very bad policy record. People are talking about how old he is and how he's stumbling and mumbling, and those are really big problems, but the worst problems for him are his policies. A lot of this debate prep that we're seeing them go through, they're claiming they're doing these movies or policy briefings. They're probably just trying to get him on a different sleep schedule, make sure that his medical assistance that he might be getting, you know, he usually does pretty well on big moments. They're probably going to focus on that, but nothing is going to take away the actual record of his administration. And that's where Donald Trump shines, and that's where Joe Biden does poorly. So the more that they focus on the record and the policies, that is going to go very well for Donald Trump.
Yeah. And they're going to try to avoid that at all possibility. They'll keep shouting January 6th at Trump. He should push right past that. So I've answered it. On to something more important. Charlie Hurt with the Washington Times was on the Fox News, and one of their anchors talking about how the prep has been underway to make sure Biden will be, quote, and I use the term in quotes, capable.
He's surrounded by 16 or 18 staffers trying to prepare him. Can you imagine Donald Trump being surrounded by 18 staffers telling him what he needs to say or what he needs to think? No. You know, obviously, you know, Donald Trump is one thing that he has no problem knowing is what he thinks. And when he gets in trouble, usually it's because everybody knows exactly what he's talking about when he says things, and he says things that, you know, the political set thinks you're not allowed to say. The problem for Joe Biden, and this is so clear, and they keep lying and trying to tell people that, you know, not to believe what you see with your own eyes. They try to act like that that somehow what Joe Biden, that Joe Biden is still with it. When he's talking, you can tell he has no idea what he's talking about. And when you look at the whole range of areas that he has destroyed around the world and in this country with his policies, it's more than just the fact that he's dropped the ball on everything because he's old. It's that he's not even in control of his government, and all of these actors within the government have free rein, and who knows what their motives are in trying to destroy all of these things.
Today there were, I believe, nearly 250,000 posts talking about Jake Tapper. He's been trending for 2 days on X, and not in a positive way. People pointing out that he's been so unfair to Trump, pointing out his statements. Do you think that weighs on him at all? Do you think maybe he will come out and try to play this straight? Because there is some pressure on him right now.
It would be great if he was, but I don't think that they care. I think that they get lauded, as you know better than anybody, they get lauded among their peers by being nasty and unfair. And it is going to be 90 minutes of ambush for Donald Trump. Mm. And but, you know, as we've seen throughout the past, and you've seen up close with him, he often does his absolute best when everybody is trying to ambush him.
Yeah, he does, because he knows how to fight back. You're not going to get him in a position of being ambushed where he's not prepared. There was a Supreme Court ruling today I want to share with you. It relates to challenges from the Biden administration communicating with social media companies. This is part of the case filed by Missouri Attorney General Bailey and also out of Louisiana. Murthy versus Missouri is what the official title is, that giant social media companies were under the guise of combating misinformation that led to censoring speech on topics that included Hunter Biden's laptop, COVID-19, and so forth. Justice Amy Coney Barrett wrote for the majority, said the plaintiffs lacked standing to bring their challenge. So what they did, this 6-3 decision, does not address the actual First Amendment issues at the center of the case. It just denies a challenge filed by Missouri Attorney General and Louisiana Attorney General on the issue of what was going on between the White House and social media companies. In fact, Justice Barrett wrote, the court's standing doctrine prevents us from, quote, exercising such general legal oversight of other branches of government. Dissenting conservative Justice Alito, joined by Thomas and Gorsuch, scolded his fellow justices for failing to decide on First Amendment. He said, and I'm quoting, the court, however, shirks that duty and permits the successful campaign of coercion in this case to stand as an attractive model for future officials who want to control what the people say, hear, and think. This is regrettable. Quote directly from the opinion, Justice Alito, on that case today. We were having, I'm going to call it an issue. We're getting a couple of our astronauts back to Earth. Not to alarm you, but Plan A has been dropped. So what plan are we on now? Here's a Fox report trying to explain the issue.
Glitches with the spacecraft are keeping the astronauts docked in space for weeks longer than expected. The Starliner's first manned mission began on June 5th and was supposed to last a little over a week. Now, NASA is saying the Starliner won't return to Earth until at least July. NASA is blaming small helium leaks and problems with the thrusters for the delays. Engineers are really using the extra time to study the spacecraft's issues. and to prevent them from happening again during future missions. But in an emergency, the Starliner would be cleared to return to Earth. So NASA says the spacecraft is doing well overall in orbit.
I get two messages out of that. We have an issue. Houston, we have an issue, but we don't have an emergency yet. And if there's an emergency, they can return to Earth. But it won't be as we originally planned, obviously. Fox added some additional comments.
Former NASA astronauts are not too concerned.
You remember when we first came out with the space shuttle, tiles were falling left and right. We had a lot of problems. And that's what happens when you first introduce a new space vehicle. You get the kinks out.
But one expert in the space field says the delays don't look good for Boeing.
Here we have China returning a mission with samples from the far side of the moon, a first in human history. And it looks like NASA and Boeing can't get their own people back from low Earth orbit.
NASA is also having some setbacks. A spacewalk scheduled for today was scrubbed because of a water leak in the cooling unit on one of the astronauts' spacesuit. It is the second time issues with spacesuits led to canceled spacewalks in recent weeks.
And in fact, the astronaut was telling control, I've got water everywhere. They said, we'll just cancel the walk today. Good idea, I think. Now, again, I don't want you alarmed, but we got two astronauts that were supposed to come back to Earth, and it's been delayed. And yes, the NASA or former astronaut pointed out when we first started space shuttle launches and bring them back, they would return with tiles missing. The tiles on the underbelly of the shuttle. Well, that's to protect heat and burning holes into the spacecraft. But some didn't survive. Ironically, there were cases where there were pigeon droppings or some kind of bird droppings on it, still intact after going all the way to space and coming back. Those pigeon droppings, they can be nasty. That's why you might need my sponsor, Wellington Environmental, to get rid of them. Speaking, of course, as you heard in that report, they mentioned this is part of the Boeing project, Boeing's involvement in space. Boeing's record lately is getting even worse, and we don't have a good explanation for this, but just last night, a Korean Air flight departing from Seoul, South Korea, I take it back, word just released about it. It happened over the weekend. This is a Boeing 737 MAX 8, suddenly dropped 25,000 feet, flew in circles several times, according to flight data tracker. That's a 25,000-foot descent. That's almost 5-mile drop over the course of 8 minutes. 17 of the 125 passengers were injured, and they don't know exactly what happened. Some of the passengers hyperventilated. They suffered eardrum pain. The Korean Air says it's working with Boeing to find out what happened. It's not the first time we've had a Boeing jet suddenly drop from altitude, getting very close to the ground or the ocean at one point the other day. So they're going to have to be looking at that a little closer. Now, are you ready to jump into electric vehicles? No, I don't think so. We'll get into that story for you. You don't want to miss that one either. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local?
Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019-941 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
My name is Todd Showalter, and I'm announcing the Right Mind Show is officially running Saturday nights at 5. I'll now open the floor for questions.
Is the Right Mind Show funny at all?
No comment. Next question. Yeah, you, different reporter with the same voice.
Your co-host is very cute.
Not a question. I've got time for one more.
Do you do any impressions on the Right Mind Show?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's Joe Biden getting out of bed.
The Right Mind Show with Todd Showalter, Saturday afternoons at 5 on News Talk STL.
Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the district of Chesterfield Valley. Napoli has the only coal-fired pizza oven. That means an incredible taste you cannot get anywhere else. So enjoy a unique pizza at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the district. And then walk a few doors down and enjoy premium cigars and drinks at Lit Cigar Lounge. There's a perfect way to end the evening. Napoli Pizza followed by Lit Cigar Lounge. A winning combination.
This is News Talk STL.
I don't need the pills you take. Just feel the spirit moving. Brother, I ain't slept in days all without the drugs you use. Help me fall. Excuse me for the Great Commission, as it was and always will, as it is, I'm here to witness. Old time screaming and shouting, grow up, telling on the mountain. Faith too strong, be left out and way of trying God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We had Administrator Regan, who is the administrator of the EPA, in testimony yesterday, and I asked him the same question I asked him last year, and that is, how many vehicles in the U.S. on the road today? And he didn't know the answer to that. It's approximately 278 million. And how much energy does it take to get a single 100-mile charge in an EV? He doesn't know the answer to that. He didn't know it last year, and it's 30 kilowatt hours. Mm. So two rules that the EPA has. One is mandating that approximately 66% of vehicles on the road will be EVs in 8 years, and shutting down coal and natural gas fired power plants. So if you multiply 278 million by 30 kilowatt hours, it's about 9 trillion. So we don't have the electricity, we don't have the energy, and they're not allowing permitting so that we can get the component metals such as cobalt, lithium. We can get those metals in order to build EV cars here in the U.S.
Yeah, she's exactly right. They're telling you you must be ready to transition to full electric vehicles. And, of course, right now the minerals, primarily lithium, cobalt coming out of China, Taiwan, are under control of China. And yet we have vast deposits in Arkansas and also around the Dakotas. But there have been no permits to start digging into the land to bring it up. This is not just an ill-conceived and not well-thought-out plan by the Biden administration. It's a disaster. It's just waiting to happen. You were listening then to Iowa Congressman Miller Meeks. I need to correct that. Marietta Miller Meeks is her full name. And she's pointing out that the administration EPA administrator they had there in front of Congress couldn't answer, how many cars do we have on the road right now? Had no idea. And you're with the EPA. How much is being used energy-wise as they are? Then what are, and then they didn't even go down the question of how many electric vehicles, just how many cars in general. McKinsey and Company has a Mobility Consumer Pulse report for 2024 just released. And according to this data, a significant share of Americans who own electric vehicles have buyer's remorse. I have no doubt. It found that 46% of those who own the EVs in the U.S. said they were, quote, very likely to switch back to owning a gas-powered vehicle in their next purchase. Such a high percentage of Americans want to make that switch even surprised McKinsey and Company. The head of the Future Mobility Evaluation said, I did not expect that. I thought once an EV buyer, always an EV buyer. Well, you know why? Because they're having too many difficulties and troubles. They're realizing how many things can go wrong, and then they're stuck. They have a new EV out. I assume it's Tesla brand. It looks like a militarized Humvee, silver, all silver, slanted windows and everything else. It looks like some kind of attack vehicle, be quite honest. While we were at our gathering last night, Saving America 2024 in St. Charles, I saw one go down the street and people were waving. You couldn't see through the window to see if the person waved back. I don't know how that fits with statutes of the police being able to see into the windshield, see through the windows, see the driver as they approach the vehicle. But the bottom line is, one guy walked past me and said, you couldn't give me one of those things. It is an EV vehicle. But if you're looking for the country that has the greatest percentage of EV owners other than the U.S., that would be Australia. 49% of EV owners said that they were ready to return to owning an internal combustion engine. This is a poll of nearly 37,000 consumers worldwide. So aside from the U.S., Australia is the only country with a greater percentage. I find that interesting because the survey does include China, and they don't have more. Cost. The countries in the survey, Brazil, China, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Norway, and across all those countries, the average share of respondents who want to ditch their EVs was 29%. The largest reason they cited for wanting to go back to gas-powered was, one, the lack of available charging infrastructure, 35% said that. The second highest reason cited was the total cost of owning an EV was too high, 34% said that. Nearly one in three, 32%, said their driving patterns on long-distance trips were altered too much due to having an EV. Oh, it'll get you from here to Texas, but you better have an updated map on where the EV stations are so you can charge, and then make sure that when you get there, there's room for you to get in and get your charge. And then when you do use the EV charger, that it's actually working. And then how long is it going to take it to be charged? Is that really what you want to do on a cross-country trip? McKinsey, in their survey, found that consumer satisfaction globally with charging availability has improved since last year's survey, but still noted it has a long way to go. No kidding. No kidding. If 46% of those in the U.S. said, I'm done with this thing, I'm ready to go back to a gas vehicle. Again, Congresswoman Miller Meeks.
All of us want a cleaner, healthier planet for our children, our grandchildren. But we also know that the U.S. is a place where innovation occurs. We develop, we improvise. And so let the market take care of this and do this. People want choice in vehicles. That's why we passed the CARS Act, which is choice in vehicles. Electric vehicles work well in some places where there's stop-and-go traffic in urban areas, but they don't work well here in Iowa. They don't work well in the north where it gets cold. The batteries lose their charge, the charging stations. And there's a big blow to the Biden administration when Elon Musk and Tesla said they're not going to build the number of supercharging stations that they had planned to do. So it's an ill-thought-out policy. We are not, it's not ready for prime time. And yes, other presidents have, you know, they've stopped, they've issued mea culpas, or they have gone to the center, but the Biden administration does not seem to be doing that at all.
No.
They're just capitulating to their far left wing extreme base.
They're just locking down. No, we decided we're going to go all green and we're not budging. Well, I don't care how much it hurts you. I don't care how many of you lost your jobs. But we're going to stay the course. There's a good reason to replace Biden right there. If he will not acknowledge what he's done in harming this nation, he should not be in charge again, and people like him around him. And then don't let me forget to add to you that twice failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton has her sights set on your children for more climate change messaging. She's putting pressure on Hollywood studios to develop movies and TV shows dramatizing how climate change is putting your kids in danger. In other words, keep pushing electric vehicles. Keep pushing all the good things that come that way. Forget about gas-powered. Clinton said in an interview with the Hollywood Reporter, "There's now research on this topic, but most people are not aware of it. Our hope is that we can help people make the connections between children's mental and physical health and the impact of climate change." Why don't we start by dealing with our children's mental and physical health by stopping child gender deformation, not affirmation, deformation. Why don't you do that? Then maybe I'll listen to you about you want to put more climate change things in front of them. I remember when my girls were younger and the whole push then was, you know, the climate, we're just, getting too cold. And then it went to too hot. And remember the polar bears and the Coca-Cola ads, and they were all featured in the movies every time you go as a trailer to go get you a Coke while the movie's underway or whatever. There were the polar bears on the ice and kind of subliminally telegraphing again to those kids, hey, the planet's changing. You don't want those little polar bears to end up in the water. So now she's trying to push this through using the Clinton Foundation's Too Small to Fail program, targeting children for political messaging. And, of course, to continue to push Biden's EV agenda, Democrats did pass infrastructure legislation in 2021 that committed billions of taxpayer dollars to building 500,000 charging stations by the end of this decade. 3 years later, only 7 federally funded chargers have been built. Only 7. No wonder you can't find a charger when you need it and you're on a long road trip. Now, Biden has gotten us into this, but he's had people pulling the strings to get him to push it and shove it in front of you. That's another issue that should be facing him in this debate, if it's an honest debate coming up. And speaking of the puppeteer, what is Obama doing in reference to the debate? What are his thoughts on it? Let me break out some of that for you when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
John Beal knows that new roofing companies can look big and trustworthy on the internet, but the fact is 96% of new roofing companies go out of business within the first 5 years. John Beal has a reputation for excellence, reliability, plus lowest cost, best roof, best guarantee. Those here today, gone tomorrow roofers, they can't match John Beal. For home or business, trust my friend John. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Have you seen the 2024 Toyota RAV4? Boy, that's an outstanding vehicle. And Ackerman Toyota has one just for you at the best price. Ackerman is the number one volume Toyota dealer in the area. Want a Camry? Maybe you want something bigger. A Toyota crossover. All the performance of an SUV, but a more compact size. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and spirits, take my advice. Check out Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. The Lit Cigar owners just got back from a major convention in Vegas, and now every day, Lit is getting shipments of special cigars that will certainly amaze you. Check the Lit Cigar Facebook, staying on top of special events. Also, Lit can host a private event for you, your friends, your business. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I raised the question, what is Obama doing while Biden is preparing for the debate? I'm looking at a piece by Fox News. I just want to read you the headline. I think the headlines are saying a lot. I don't need to get in a lot of detail. You can kind of fill in the spaces yourself. Headline, Obama has anxiety over election. Holding secret meetings with Biden to strategize on beating Trump. And the under headline is, Obama believes the 2024 election will be a nail-biter, but has avoided criticizing Biden and his team. You have to also wonder, does Obama want Biden to win, or does he really care one way or the other? He's got his. He got his 8 years, and he's got his house on Martha's Vineyard, and he's got all the multi-millions coming to him now as a private citizen, all the book deals and everything else. He's being honored everywhere, being given additional honors and monies on top of things. Biden has not hurt Obama at all. And he can't really hurt Obama's record. He can just make himself, Joe Biden, look as the worst president, as they like to say, ahead of Jimmy Carter. There were things Jimmy Carter did not do well as a president. I'll state that as a fact. But when it came to believing in something, he actually did believe in things, God. And he believed in helping people, not just trying to pander to them and take what you can from them. Biden is, of course, getting a lot of extra help. Planned Parenthood will be dumping $40 million in to help Democrats all over, not just the Biden campaign. And the Biden campaign is now trying to put the word out that Trump is exploiting the tragic migrant crimes, that crime is actually down. You want to tell that to the 12-year-old, the parents of the 12-year-old that got killed the other day in Texas? Hey, your daughter's dead, but crime is down. How does that sit with you? If you're looking for a glimmer of hope of what's happening, Congressman Jamal Bowman from New York, 16th Congressional District, was in a primary fight to hold his seat and return to Congress. He lost. Good. He lost to a primary opponent because, according to the write-up of it by the Associated Press, the heated primary was highlighting a deep division within the Democrat Party over the Israel-Hamas war. So Bowman trying to seek a third congressional term, of course, was part of the squad, always criticizing Biden administration for supporting Israel and what he described as genocide in Gaza. So he got defeated by a two-term county executive, former state assemblyman. He does back Joe Biden's agenda. That includes Israel. But Bowman, by the way, was running away in the lead at the first votes were coming out of the Bronx. But then as the other votes began to come in from outside the Bronx, he lost. Speaking of the Bronx, AOC defeated her primary challenger, so she thinks she's going to be back in there. I hope not. I hope not. And then, of course, if Trump is going to run and win, which we certainly hope comes true, who's going to be his VP pick? Wall Street Journal editorial board wrote a piece deeming North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum as the best option. They point out that Virginia Governor Youngkin is a strong pick, but also acknowledge Burgum, Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio, Marco Rubio of Florida, saying all of those are among the top finalists probably. The board did criticize Vance, a first-term senator, as, quote, a young man in a seemingly hurry to be Don Jr., though that role has already been taken, according again to the Wall Street Journal editorial board. And Burgum, obviously being lesser known nationally, has deep pockets, and some say he's got a similar trajectory to what we've seen with Trump going from the business world to the political arena. And that Trump and his team like the fact that Burgum is a disciplined messenger who will not overshadow or upstage the former president. Plus, Trump and Burgum apparently get along well personally, according to The Hill and its sources. Trump said the other day, I have made a selection. I have decided who it's going to be. He did not say that he had told the person. He did say, but they're going to be at the debate tomorrow night. Now, by that, he can't mean that they're going to be stage side at the debate because there's supposed to be no audience. But if they're there for the press pool to ask them questions while the debate's underway or after, before, they'll be captured on video with their answers. But, I'm willing to bet right now that the names I just listed will be there and some others that have been considered. So they might be there, but you still don't know which one. That's for Trump to decide. And there are a lot of things happening that are reemphasizing we've got to turn all of this around. We've got people that are being led astray, and they don't know where they're going. And they're taking their families with them, and they're putting us all in danger in the process. I'm going to give you a perfect example in a few moments, but before that, Eric Trump, there's your younger Trump, Eric Trump, has his own podcast, and recently he had the co-founder and CEO of The Federalist on board. He raised a question which is pressing our nation.
How do people get behind enough of a group that you get enough critical mass to actually effectuate real change?
Yeah, so I actually think you have to start with media. Now, obviously, I'm a little biased. I run a media organization. But the left has been able to do a lot of what it's done through its control of the media. You know, we call television shows, we don't even think about it. We call them programs. And why do we do that? Because we're being programmed. The left understands the value of media. I think the right is just starting to understand it. And left, we don't need to have the New York Times and CNN and MSNBC and the Washington Post. We really just need a handful of people that are staffed up and funded up. They can take the air war to the left. You know, that's what we've done at the Federalist. We wake up every morning, we look at the narratives that are out there, and we see, what are the leftist narratives that need to be destroyed, and what are the narratives on the right that need to be pushed, because it takes that over time. You have to convince people. You have to make them understand the nature of the battle. And like I said, it's bigger than just spending money on ads to win an election every now and again. We need permanent, constant air war coming from our side. And I think that starts with building up our own well-funded media infrastructure to take it to the left.
And I agree with him. Again, he is the CEO of the Federalist. If you do not follow the Federalist online, I strongly encourage you to do it. It's a wealth of information. It's solid conservative talk, but it also gives you good viewpoints and also talking points. Now, I'd mentioned earlier the things that we need to do are exactly what Sean Davis is saying. We've got to build up our own brand that stands alone, and we can stand against the assaults of the leftist media. This program is obviously, as far as I'm concerned, aimed primarily at patriots. You can be a Democrat, you can be an independent. You can be one religion or the other. You can be gay or straight. You can't be more than one of two genders, but beyond that, are you a patriot? If you're a patriot, you care about what's happening with our country. Then explain to me why anyone would want to harm our children. And this is, again, inside the Biden administration. Rachel Levine, a man who dresses like a woman, transgender advocate, assistant secretary for health, she issued a statement trying to fight against age limits when it comes to guidelines for medical treatment, as they call it, for anyone who says they're transgender. In other words, anyone of any age who claims they're transgender, there should be no age restriction on them getting puberty blockers or castration, chopping off healthy breasts. There's a document called Appendix A, the Supplemental Expert Report, all part of a piece that got released in a lawsuit. This lawsuit involves a critic of youth gender medicine and frequent expert witness on behalf of those attempting to ban or restrict youth gender health care. And it's not health care, it's not gender affirming, it's gender deforming. But he writes that Levine, Rachel Levine, transgender advocate, assistant secretary for health, appointed by Joe Biden, attempted to and did influence the substantive content of the standard of care's rule based on political goals rather than science. These guidelines are there to help medical professionals provide safe gender-affirming care, as they say, to people who say they are transgender. There was an age limit. In this document, Levine, who's still a biological man, pushed forward leadership to develop version 8 of the rules. And the way it's identified here is it was being pressured by the Levine in her position as health administrator or health assistant to secretary for the health. With her power, and she has a title of admiral on top of that, has nothing to do with military, it's simply a title. And they are basically looking at, yeah, let's take off any prohibitions about age. Right now, as it exists, 18 is the age that is in set for this, quote, transgender care foundation of what doctors can and shouldn't do. 18. We know they're doing it at younger ages anyway, but now they want to make it very clear that we just want all ages released. Why would someone want that? Why would anyone want an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, because they're confused about one particular day, to be transformed to another gender, which they're really not, regardless of what puberty blockers they give them or what they do, surgical destruction of their body. They were born one gender or another. Why would anyone want that? I've yet to hear one person on the far, far left push transgender answer that question. Why do you want children to have that? What's in it for you? I know what's in for the child, a lifetime of drugs and pharmaceutical companies making millions of dollars for each child that's, oh, wait a minute, did I just stumble across a reason why some on the left are so big on it, that they have ties and connections to pharmaceutical companies that push puberty blockers and the drugs children will need after they undergo sexual transition? Sick. Totally sick. But if you're looking for a bright spot again, I'm going to try to give you one. I mentioned to you earlier that Jamal Bowman lost his primary. Do you remember Congressman Bowman? Of course, being a member of the squad, he was the one that pulled the fire alarm. Remember that? And then said, oh, no, I didn't pull it. I had to get over there for a vote real quick, and I just accidentally went through. And yet the video shows he expressly reached over and pulled the fire alarm, which is a violation. He got slapped on the wrist for it. But his political ideology upset even his fellow Democrats in the areas around the Bronx. They booted him out, so he's not going to be running at all. He lost in his primary. And here's another primary vote we're watching. Cori Bush of Missouri. Now, with Bowman gone, there goes one member of the progressives. Cori Bush is another. She is, of course, facing Wesley Bell in her race. This is the primary. But getting Cori Bush out would be great for the 1st Congressional District of Missouri. It includes the city of St. Louis and the northern suburbs. And it would also be damning and damaging to the woke crowd that exists among the progressive regressives in the squad. Apparently, both sides are spending something like $25 million on that. I didn't know this campaign was getting that big, but apparently it is. She's trying to hold on and basically, what do you want? You want to see a black woman killed? Remember when she made those remarks as to why she should have special protection? Well, Wesley Bell would like to see you ousted, and many others would as well. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.